Oh, thank you. It's good to get here eventually. I was thinking that was one of the few benefits when we were meeting online. welcome to those who are watching who have tuned in online. It's really good to have you with us this morning as well. And this morning we're starting our new series on the prophet Elijah. And today is entitled The Making of a Man of God, which refers to us as people rather than just the male gender. How God makes and molds us. And we're going to read a chapter from 1 Kings, or a portion from 1 Kings. It's from the Message. And then this happened. It's chapter 17, verses 1 to 16. Elijah the Tishbite from among the settlers of Gilead confronted Ahab. As surely as God lives, the God of Israel, before whom I stand in obedient service, the next years are going to see a total drought, not a drop of dew or rain, unless I say otherwise. God then told Elijah, get out of here and fast. Head east and hide out at the Kereth Ravine on the other side of the Jordan River. You can drink fresh water from the brook. I've ordered the ravens to feed you. Elijah obeyed God's orders. He went, camped in the Kereth Canyon on the other side of the Jordan. Sure enough, ravens brought him his meals, both breakfast and supper, and he drank from the brook. Eventually, the brook dried up because of the drought. Then God spoke to him, get up and go to Zarephath in Sidon and live there. I've instructed a woman who lives there, a widow, to feed you. So he got up, went to Zarephath, and he came to the entrance of the village. He met a woman, a widow, gathering firewood. He asked her, please would you bring me a little water in a jug? I need a drink. And she went to get it. He called out, and while you're at it, would you bring me something to eat? She said, I swear as surely as your God lives, I don't have so much as a biscuit. I have a handful of flour in a jar and a little oil in a bottle. You found me scratching together just enough firewood to make a last meal for me and my son. After we eat it, we'll die. Elijah said to her, don't worry about a thing. Go ahead and do what you've said. But first, make a small biscuit for me, bring it back here. Then go ahead, make a meal from what's left for you and your son. This is the word of the God of Israel. The jar of flour will not run out, and the bottle of oil will not become empty before God sends rain on the land and ends this drought. She went right off and did it, just as Elijah asked. And it turned out as he said, daily food for her and her family. The jar of meal didn't run out, and the bottle of oil didn't become empty. God's promise fulfilled to the letter, exactly as Elijah had delivered it. So Elijah, prophet from the Old Testament, and in many ways, he is recognized as a forerunner of Jesus. Jesus is our prophet, priest, and king. And Elijah, there's some similarities between Elijah and Jesus. We've listed some of those here. So both able to hear God's voice, predicting judgment, performing miracles, resurrecting the dead, speaking out against injustice, condemning idol worship, and eventually, finally, transported to heaven. So Elijah, similar to Jesus. But the Bible wants us to view this man not just as, you know, like Jesus, but like us. Like us, so we could be like him. And in the New Testament, the book of James writes about Elijah. It's a passage about prayer, and in chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, says the prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Elijah was a human being just like us. And there's something very precious about that. When you consider how big a man of God Elijah was, that he's actually just a human being just like us. And his prayer life particularly is something that we could attend to, that could easily be ours. We could be like him. The prayer of a righteous man. So in the making of this man of God, there wasn't any special training or Bible college stuff. There wasn't a seminar or anything that he went to. In fact, he was made and molded in tough times and difficult circumstances. None of his life was easy. None of the circumstances, all around him, there was a challenge, a severe challenge. But Elijah followed and honored God, a human being, just like us. Difficult times, difficult situation. I'll give you some background. He was in the nation of Israel, and Israel had gone through a very, very difficult time. The ruling power at the moment, just at Elijah's time, was the worst it had ever been. They had had several rulers, all of them terrible. Eventually, you get to this man called Ahab, and the Bible is very clear about Ahab. In the end of chapter 16, it says, Ahab did more evil before God than anyone yet. He made the God of Israel angrier than all the previous kings of Israel put together. That's where Elijah was living. He was living in that environment. The Bible highlights some things about the circumstances. Ahab, there were three main areas of concern that I've just noted. He trivialized sin. You may recognize some of this as you're thinking about our own country, he trivialized sin. So great sins had become small sins. Unacceptable things had become acceptable. And the Bible says it provoked God to anger. The country was at the worst stage it had ever been. Also, Ahab married Jezebel. Now, you might think, oh, it's good to get married, but not to the most wicked woman in the Bible. So, what happened when he got married? He himself became yoked to Baal. Jezebel's father was called Ethbaal, which means with Baal. So when Ahab decided to get in cahoots with Jezebel, he found himself kind of like attached to Baal. And because he was the leader of the nation, the whole nation became attached to Baal. That's the worst that it had ever been. And then as a consequence of that, he's setting up a temple, he's having sacrifices, and there is this consequence which the country is going further and further because of these relationships with idol worshippers. And when you think about it, you think, if God's going to do anything or if something's going to happen, what you need now is a superhero. You need kind of some person, some super person, but you don't get it. What you get is in steps Elijah, who's a human being just like us. Just like us. I was so glad to be here last week when I heard the testimony of Des. He's the coordinator for Alpha. If you haven't heard it yet, skip back a week or so online, find it, listen to it. It was really encouraging. I'm sure it resonated with all of us. He went to great lengths to help us to understand that he is no superhero. He's an average bloke. He was saying that as much as he could. He had a rough upbringing. He didn't have any outstanding qualifications. He had things that he said he has done and achieved, but you know, he wasn't kind of anything that was spectacular. A human being, just like us. And he was more surprised than anybody that God is using him in such a marvelous way. A miraculous way, really. And my spiritual imagination is kind of thinking about Elijah. And I can see him with the same kind of imposter syndrome. You know, this ought not to be me. Somebody's going to suss me out in a minute. He's in the palace talking to royalty. Signs and wonders and things are happening. And it's making him smile or laugh even, because the Bible reminds us he's a human being just like us. And he's really aware of it, like Des. We're really aware of it because the Bible is telling us. Elijah, his name means "My God is Jehovah." And the key thing that made him feel that he could do this stuff was that he knows God. He really knows him. That God is alive, that God is real. My God is Jehovah. He was walking around with that over him, and he certainly, so within him was that real understanding. A human being just like us, but with a concrete assurance about a living God. The way he lived his life, he lived that way. He went to see Ahab, and the thing that he said to Ahab in verse 1 was, as surely as God lives. He had a real confidence that God was alive. And I would suggest the same for Des. I never really met him. I said goodbye to him on the way out, and thank you very much. But I had this feeling that Des knows a God who is real and alive. A human being just like me, just like you, just like us. But he knows God. And we were inspired, and he's inspired, because he was able to tell the truth about Jesus, who's alive. And it can be the same for you and the same for me, where Jesus being alive is not just the line in a hymn, not just part of our favorite chorus that we're singing about Jesus being alive. It's not just information somehow for us, but becomes inspiration. So we're inspired by the fact that we know that Jesus is alive. We wake up with that. Jesus is alive. We carry that inspiration wherever we go. Now, as we read in this story, I'll just come back to that, we're reading about Elijah. He confronts Ahab, but then God sends him to Kerith. Verse 3, "Get out of here and fast, head east, hide out at the Kerith ravine on the other side of the Jordan River." And he's going there because he's done his kind of work with Ahab. He's brought the judgment, and that's all happening. And where he goes, there's a little brook that runs, and he'll get something to drink. He'll be able to have something to drink, plenty there. And also there'll be food to eat, because the ravens will feed him. There's a miracle in the morning when he gets up, and there's a miracle in the evening, and he's getting his breakfast and he's getting his supper because the ravens are feeding him. And sure enough, ravens brought him his meals, both breakfast and supper, and he drank from the brook. So everything's going well. Elijah has done what he was meant to do, spoken to Ahab, brought the judgment. He's now in Kerith. And he's blessed. He knows the blessing of God. He's blessed every day. And I'm sure he would like it to be that way forever and ever. You know, I've done my bit, you know. But then we hit a little statement, a significant statement in verse 7. Eventually, the brook dried up. Now, Elijah needs that water. God had put him there. And he has become dependent, reliant, human being, just like us. He needs that stuff. All that God supplies, he needs. You could say in many ways it's just circumstance. But it's the provision of God. Your breakfast, your supper. And we can see that, you know, in his mind, he doesn't need change right now. He's done what he was told to do. He's been in the palace and he's said his bit. But suddenly now, everything is changing. The resources are drying up. And sometimes our circumstances can drastically change. You know, stuff that you've been leaning on, maybe quite heavily, could be work, could be people that you've been depending on, and they disappear, or they leave. Resources that we require, suddenly it all runs dry. And what we can see is it can be God's way of moving us on, mobilizing us. Certainly that was happening to Elijah in the making of the man of God. As God makes you, as God molds you, your circumstances, you could be forced to have a change because God is allowing something to be different. Elijah was well catered for, but he has become too comfortable, too isolated. The safe place that it's become a comfort zone. And so Elijah is asked to go to Zarephath, which is about 40 miles away. It's not a welcome place. He's not thinking, oh, great. In fact, the opposite. It's enemy territory. And so once again, the making of the man of God is that when his life is too comfortable, God is moving him and he will face more challenges. He will need more faith. He will be involved in more prayer because he's no superhero. He's just a human being like you and me. And when God changes things, when God moves us and mobilizes us, we have to be aware that he has always the bigger picture. See, the explanation for this move that Elijah was making seemed to be the widow woman in verses 10 to 16. She's living in poverty. She's lost her husband. She's striving to raise her child. She's hungry. She's very near to death, or it feels very near, and at the end of her tether. So what we can say is that when the brook dried up, eventually a brook dried up in Kereth, it was for this lady in Zarephath. Now Elijah couldn't see that, but God knew. And God always has the bigger picture. And everybody like this widow woman. People like that. And the circumstances of our life, the circumstances that surround this church, the circumstances that surround the leadership, when things change and become altered politically in the country, you know, socially, maybe just in your street, in your family, what you say, God is saying is to mobilize us. The man of God, Elijah, to get him to move again. You know, God had to do something. God will rattle your cage. God will upset your apple cart. There is no doubt about it. If you are following and honoring God, and if you've got into some comfort zone where it's difficult for you to actually have contact with people, people that really are needy, God will dry up the resources for human beings just like us. God will do it to move us in the right direction out of the comfort area. When we're not having enough contact with the widows, with the orphans, with the poor, with the needy. A little phrase which is very popular, God guides by what he provides. And that's really true in this story. For Elijah, the brook was flowing, but grace and goodness was not. Something in him had dried up. In the easy kind of circumstances. So God chose to deny him in order to inspire him. God chose to do that. So he could reach out to someone poor whose cupboard might be empty, who was at the end of their tether, somebody who was maybe ready to give up completely. A lot of us have had to face change, some of it, you know, quite recent. Some of us have had more change than we cared for, more change than we really wanted. And some of us this year, the months ahead, we will face change. How we deal with it, how we cope with it, how we manage it is so important. This church will face change. God wants to mobilize us, to keep us moving. God wants to, human beings, just like us, God wants to make us into the people that he has called us to be. And he will shake things up from time to time. He will get us moving again towards those who are at the greatest extremity in our community, towards those who are in the worst situations. God will keep mobilizing us, keep moving us. God is making and molding each one of us. So I would like to say this morning, you're okay. You're in your comfort zone and you're safe there for the rest of the decade. Hallelujah. But I'm not saying that. I'm saying that if you're following and honoring God, if you know that God is real and alive this morning, then there's a good chance that change to your circumstances could come to mobilize you, to mobilize us, to reach those whose cupboards are bare, whose situations are extreme, who are struggling in so many ways. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for being able to allow to share your word this morning. I thank you, Lord, that you do want to make us into the people you have called us to be. And so I pray that we will acknowledge, yeah, we're just human beings, but that you can help us, you can strengthen us. And I pray that when we face changing circumstances, when we face things that are becoming different, then we will somehow be able to just gather up faith, gather up strength, become prayerful to be able and allow ourselves to be involved in moving towards those that you have your eye on. Those people, those communities, those folks that we could never see, but you see them, Lord, and you know them. And so help us as we continue to follow you and honor you. Help us to be able to cope with all the changes that may come. And we ask it in the name of Jesus and for your glory. Amen.